You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
WhatsApp with Brazil's runoff election? Hacktivism hits Davos in the desert. Kraken crypto ransomware gets an upgrade. Remote code execution vulnerabilities disclosed in two classes of systems. Healthcare.gov breach under investigation. More calls for retraction of the spy chip story. Cozy Bear calls for proper internet governance. U.S. on effects of influence ops. Notes on industrial control systems cybersecurity with an emphasis on attending to the obvious. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Peter Kilby, executive editor, sitting in for the vacationing Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. As Brazil's elections enter their final phase, WhatsApp messaging in that country is seeing a surge in politically oriented questionable stories. What effect they'll have on the outcome remains to be seen. Runoff voting will conclude on October 28th. The murder of Jamal Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia's Istanbul consulate continues to arouse international outrage. Turkey's President Erdogan addressed the death earlier today in an address to his Development and Justice Party, calling for Saudi Arabia to be more forthcoming about its role in the death and suggesting that any trial be held in Turkey. Hackers have defaced the Davos in the Desert site with a picture showing both Khashoggi and behind him a sword-wielding Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The site has been taken down. The attack looks like hacktivist work. Bleeping Computer says it's receiving attention from the masters of the Kraken Cryptor ransomware, who released version 2.0.6 of their tool over the weekend. There are two new recent reports of remote code execution bugs. Zimperium reports finding such vulnerabilities in free RTOS, the open source OS widely used in embedded systems. The bug's effects are seen across the IoT spectrum, from smart homes to critical infrastructure. And Cisco's Talos says it's found remote code execution flaws in Live Networks Live 555's streaming media RTSP server. Exploitation could trigger a stack-based buffer overflow. U.S. authorities continue to investigate a breach in healthcare.gov that affects about 75,000 people. Hackers got in through the federally facilitated exchanges. These exchanges are designed to help brokers and others make it easy for citizens to sign up for benefits. The government is restoring the system, and it'll be warning those whose data were lost. Amazon and Supermicro have joined Apple in demanding that Bloomberg retract its story about Chinese supply chain poisoning of motherboards with spy chips. There's still neither confirmation nor retraction of the story, but at this point, Bloomberg is standing effectively alone. We've mentioned Brazil's elections, but of course the U.S. midterm elections are also upon us. U.S. National Security Advisor Bolton is in Moscow for talks with Russian leaders. The principal topic is the future of the INF arms control treaty, which the U.S. is considering leaving over what it characterizes as long-running Russian cheating. But he also addressed yesterday Russian election meddling. He spoke on a Russian radio program where he was asked to comment on the recent U.S. indictment of a Russian national on charges related to election influence operations. Mr. Bolton said he told Russian officials that their attempts to affect the 2016 elections had no effect on the election's outcome. But those efforts did, he advised them, quote, sow enormous distrust, unquote, of Russia among Americans. That distrust has become a major obstacle to achieving agreement on issues even when Russian and American interests converge. Bolton said, quote, just from a very cold-blooded cost-benefit ratio, you shouldn't meddle in our elections because you're not advancing Russian interest, unquote. He hopes he was persuasive, but these talks have been tense ones. Russia's FSB intelligence service recommends that the internet be brought under, quote, proper governance, unquote. Few will receive this as unproblematic good government advice, but there you have it. Cozy Bear has your interest at heart, or that's what Cozy would have you think. After the break, we'll hear a recent conversation Dave had with Owais Rashid from Bristol University. They'll be discussing supply chain security.
Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Professor Owais Rashid. He's a professor of cybersecurity at the University of Bristol. Welcome back. We wanted to talk today about cybersecurity issues in supply chains.
The key thing that I wanted to raise was that we often think of cybersecurity in the context of an organization that we want to protect, but many threats actually arise from the supply chain itself. For instance, in any organization, for example, think of an organization with critical national infrastructure. It will have many complex supply chains with a number of other parties providing software and hardware components, third-party services. There will be distributors involved, there will be transporters involved, engineers and third-party staff coming on site. And all that creates a much more complex environment than we normally think of as cybersecurity within the confines of a single organization. The challenge comes is that we normally focus our efforts on protecting the network and the infrastructure and the information of the organization in question, which is, of course, very important, but not enough attention is often paid from the threats that arise from the supply chain. And we have seen various examples where actually threats arising in the supply chain then actually end up impacting the organization under consideration. How do we deal with this kind of issue? I think the key thing has to be to think of the supply chain as a socio-technical ecosystem that includes technologies, but a multitude of organizations as well. And all the cybersecurity practices of the various actors within the supply chain actually then have an impact on the overall security and resilience of the whole supply chain itself.
And in terms of an organization, you know, setting budgeting for these sorts of things, I guess it's really a matter of having to look outside of your own organization and make sure that you have the resources to be able to properly vet everyone in your supply chain. Yes?
Yes, I think it's a resourcing question, but also it's a risk thinking question. So at a strategic level, when decisions are being made about particular organizations coming as part of the supply chain to your organization, you have to ask the question, and not only just what kind of security certification or compliances do they have, for example, things like ISO 27001, but what are their actual security practices? And would those security practices have an impact onto your organization? If you look at Stuxnet as an example, the worm spread through potentially infected USBs or machines being carried into the nuclear power plant by third-party engineers. And that's the kind of threat that arises. And the kind of practices at an organization in the supply chain have an impact on what happens to you.
Awais Rashid, thanks for joining us.
We're in Atlanta for the 2018 ICS Cybersecurity Conference, organized by Security Week. We'll have updates on the proceedings throughout the week. Industrial control systems security company CyberX is among the many vendors at the conference. And this morning, they've released their 2019 ICS and IIoT risk report. Their findings are based on traffic captured from 850 production networks across various industrial sectors in many countries around the world. Their major conclusions are not surprising. They found that passwords in plain text, direct connection of industrial systems to the internet, and weak implementation of antivirus tools continue to be common across the sector. All of these vulnerabilities, of course, have led to industrial security problems in the past. NotPetya, last year's big shocker, has apparently shocked some operations into positive changes. Among those positive changes has been the decrease in industrial use of Windows XP and other legacy operating systems. But still, a lot of exploitable weaknesses are still out there. CyberX says it's found unpatchable Windows instances in just over half the industrial sites studied. Here's some high-level details from their observations of traffic from industrial sites. 69% of those sites permit plain text, unencrypted passwords to cross their network. The air gap that long protected legacy systems is now officially a myth. CyberX found that 40% of the sites they observed have at least one operational technology connection to the public internet. Those OT systems are also increasingly connected with business IT networks, which isn't much better. Many operations don't run even minimally acceptable antivirus protection. Automatic updating of signatures would set a minimally acceptable bar, but more than half of those sites CyberX looked at didn't even go that far. Despite some top-down reform in the wake of last year's NotPetya pseudo-ransomware attacks, 53% of the sites were still running outdated beyond end-of-life Windows systems. And finally, 16% of the sites had at least one wireless access point. Many of these are misconfigured. Many of the issues of hygiene the report raised were echoed by presentations by other companies at the conference this morning. Senior representatives of Schneider Electric, Siemens, and Rockwell Automation pointed out that they still see, when they visit industrial facilities, poor awareness of risk profiles. They see, for example, that organizations continue to scramble with asset management during incident response. It's bad practice to wait until you're under attack before you ask questions like, how many of these devices do I have? And where are they? And where are they connected to? They're also struck by the way sound configuration management practices are disregarded. They have seen some encouraging developments, however. Boards, for one thing, are showing a significantly increased level of awareness about the seriousness of industrial cybersecurity. And of course, concerns about liability will always exert a powerful influence on business. Legal exposure will grow with the IoT in all its forms. As the number of internet-connected devices in our lives continues to increase, there are increasing concerns about legal liability from the manufacturers of those devices should connectivity lead to a breach of security, privacy, or physical safety. I.J. Polansky is litigation partner at Armstrong Teasdale LLP. Dave had a chance to talk with him about these issues.
I come to this as the lead counsel in the class action that followed from Charlie Miller and Chris Valasek's hack of the Jeep Grand Cherokee back in 2015. And we just got class certification in that case, which means that it looks like we've got about 220,000 vehicles, and we're proceeding on behalf of the owners and the people who leased all of those. And really, this, I think, as far as I know, is sort of a first of its kind case, but I also believe that it's the tip of the iceberg. And so I think that where we're at right now is that things are about to change very significantly. I think that there hasn't been a lot of activity in this area in terms of civil lawsuits or enforcement lawsuits relating to IoT cybersecurity vulnerabilities, but I think that we're right on the precipice of that really changing.
And can you give us some examples of how we might see that change play out?
Well, I mean, that's really the big question here. So first of all, there are a couple of conditions that have to be met in order for lawsuits to be brought. And most of those conditions haven't really held up until now. But those things are changing. So for example, cybersecurity for IoT devices is not necessarily where it needs to be by and large. And when they start to get hacked, when people start to get injured, whether it's an economic injury or through some sort of cyber physical effect, and where there's attribution, those are the cases that are really ripe for lawsuits. And with cases like the GPAC case that are working their way through the courts, you're going to have a playbook for plaintiffs to consult. And as that happens, there are going to be more and more cases brought. Now, how those are going to play out is a really interesting question. The legal principles that apply aren't going to be any different by and large than the legal principles that apply to other types of lawsuits. The question is, how are they going to be applied? And there are a whole bunch of questions all wrapped up into that. But I think probably the most interesting one is that almost irrespective of what the particular legal theory is, ultimately, the plaintiff is going to need to show that the defendant, whether it's the manufacturer of the product or of a component or the person who designed the software or whatever it may be, didn't live up to their standard of care. And so the really big question is, how do we determine what the standard of care is for a particular IoT device? And from my perspective, I usually represent defendants, even though in the GPACE I represent plaintiffs. But for coming from a defense orientation, the question is, if you're facing the possibility of a lawsuit like this, what do you need to do to make sure that that determination and the health of your company isn't put in the hands of a judge or jury that probably doesn't know very much about cybersecurity and isn't going to be very well equipped to make that determination about what the right level of care is for the product?
And so where do you think that's going to lead? I mean, I think about, for your average consumer, we were met with some sort of device like this that's software intensive. And of course, the first thing we do is we click through some sort of EULA where we basically sign away all of our rights and agree that if anything bad happens, it's completely our fault. Once we've headed down that path, where can it lead to?
Well, I think that where it's going to lead in the next few years as you get more of these hacks and more lawsuits is a situation where there are going to be a lot of organizations in the IoT space who are unprepared. And there's going to be a wave of lawsuits where the rules and the implementation of the rules is going to be unclear, which leads to significant risk. It's very difficult to predict how that ultimately is going to play out. What I can tell you is that I would be very surprised if there weren't a lot of lawsuits and if there weren't a lot of companies in the IoT space who were hit with very big verdicts. Or compelled to settle for very big numbers based on cybersecurity inadequacies or faulty design in their products.
That's I.J. Polansky from Armstrong Teasdale.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Puru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpe, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.